I've been saying this over and over again. The national government must do its job. This is not a responsibility that should be placed in the lap of all of these big cities. We're seeing what's taking place in Chicago and Denver and Boston. All across our country, big cities are having to do the national government job. And those migrants who are here because they want to be part of the American dream, that's we say yes to that. But those who are breaking our laws, we need to re-examine the laws that don't allow us to deport them because they're doing violent acts. We cannot create an atmosphere where you're going to bring violence in our city.
Well, you should have thought about that before you instituted sanctuary city policies. I mean, that's kind of that's the whole reason why we're here, right? I mean, we're in this situation because of that. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday. My voice is a little rough this morning. We're on the struggle bus. Yeah, so just bear with me. I appreciate the concern and all that stuff. But I'm on the mend. We had a great event last night, but it was a lot for the voice yesterday. So we're suffering a little bit today, but we're gonna get through it. It's Friday, and we've got a lot of stuff that we got to hit. So as we do all of that, this is still the number one top issue because it's nothing's been done. The border bill, and I wanted to go over some of that a little bit today. The border bill, that it was the Senate that had introduced it, pushed it towards the House, and the House is under a lot of pressure to take this, just accept it and run with it. And the bill doesn't make sense. The way that the media is presenting it is they're trying to say that the House Republicans have to pass this or Republicans aren't serious about immigration reform. But the whole bill's not serious about immigration reform. I was reading what was released from it because the asylum system as well is real. I mean, it's just weird. It's just jacked up. This whole thing is just jacked up. The asylum system, the whole, well, you know, if we get to 5,000, you know, illegal entries, then we'll shut it down only after you see what I'm saying? I mean, none of it makes sense. They don't do anything about the overall system. They just try to make it, honestly, it just makes it easier to keep entering illegally. The other thing too, with this, in looking at some of it, they had the asylum program, the Remain in Mexico. And apparently, you know, Democrats think that that's so mean because there's so few asylum claims. I mean, from 2017 to 2023, out of all the asylum claims that were made, 15 out of every 100 people who claimed that they were going to be tortured or something like that, they were returned to their home country. Most people are not granted asylum. Most people are not. They're not granted asylum. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So you have all these people that are coming in, and they come in and they realize this, even though they're not going to be granted asylum, they still want to press the limit and stay in the country anyway. And then that's how they ultimately game it and get through. So that's like one of the problems with the way that the system is set up. This bill doesn't really look at any of this. It doesn't really look at any of this stuff. It doesn't look at, like for instance, cleaning up the legal pathway, being really stringent with H-1B visas, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't examine any of this stuff. And it also doesn't encourage any kind of, cooperation with Mexico, because they think that Mexico is going to be a good partner on this. Is that what they think? Because I mean, when have they been a good partner on this at all? Except, well, you know, the time they had the Federales standing across the Rio. And, you know, that's when they were helping that one illegal entrant that had drowned in the river, but it wasn't due to our border people. It was due to they were trying to cross during, you know, a very deep part of the river. And additionally, if they were trying to illegally cross, I mean, this is, you know, this is not something you're going to be able to do. So this is the bill. And it's like I said, I don't see how any of this is like good or decent with regards to immigration. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's just kind of a mess. It's a mess. This bill's a mess. We're not going to get, and if Republicans don't pass it, they shouldn't pass it. They're going to get so hammered for it, and they're still going to, and then they can't message at all. They have no idea about messaging. They have no idea of how to handle any of this stuff. So that's just kind of that's just kind of the way that it is. They have no way to be able to handle any of this. They can't handle the messaging on it. So I don't know. Nothing's gonna get solved this election cycle, I think. I don't think anything's gonna be solved this particular election cycle, because they don't have the political spine to do what's needed. And if they were to do what's required, they're gonna get beaten in purple states because they don't know how to message it, and because all the parties are broke. That's just all there is to it. All the parties are broke. So we're gonna keep diving into this, because in addition to this, we're talking about the parties being broke. The Republican Party, I told you yesterday, I gave a speech. It was with the Dallas Jewish Conservatives, an awesome group, yesterday, and was speaking about how, you know, the RNC doesn't have a lot of cash on hand. A lot of these entities don't have a lot of cash on hand. Some of these state parties are just absolutely broke. And so as a result, you're going to be going into a very, very competitive season, and the Republican Party isn't going to be ready. One of the things that we pay attention to in radio, and if you're watching the video portion of this, that's the video portion of the radio component, the ad buys. Kane, I'm going to ask you this because you actually probably know this better than I do. How early do people, you know, whether it's an advocacy or if it's a political thing, do they do their ad buys, their media buys? Media buys are done pretty early.
Yeah, they're done early on just to see. They got to seed the ground.
And they may not necessarily fill that order, correct?
No, that's true too.
They may just sit on the time.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of free press they're able to get through the news. And then they determine how much they'll end up having to spend for that particular quarter.
So let me share this piece with you, because this is one of the things I was looking at. And we're going to talk to Jennifer Van Laar with Red State about this. She's done some pretty amazing work. So the media buys, Democrats are sitting on, I think it's like 200 and... It's a lot of money. Millions, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. They're sitting on a lot. Republicans are sitting on 93 million. 90 or 93 million.
I thought it was only like 8 million or something.
Oh, maybe it's 9. I'm sorry, 9 million.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 293 million with Democrats. Sorry, that's my bad. Yeah. It's 9 million. I can't breathe through my head. It's 9 million. So that's, yeah. And that's just the national RNC. So the amount of media buys, and I'm going, you have to forgive me because there's a lot of windows that I got to open up here. Democrats have been doing tons of media buys, particularly in very competitive swing states. And what we mean by media buys is, just like I was talking with Kane, they'll book out, radio time, for radio ads, television ads, and you have to do it fairly early in the season. But they've been doing it like crazy so that they can sit on the time and squeeze out any kind of opposition. And Kane, that's legal to do. Yes. I mean, you can absolutely squeze out because they're buying the time.
If you have the war chest to do so.
Exactly. Yeah,
you absolutely can.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is, it's pretty telling that Democrats have been doing millions of dollars of media buys already in some of these very competitive states. Now keep in mind, they haven't kicked out a single ad. They haven't kicked out a single, I take that back. They had one video ad that they put out, and that was it. They haven't put out anything else, but they haven't really started. And so I'm looking at a lot of these battleground states. They've done tons of media buys in, and they're still doing it, and millions of dollars. Republicans haven't done anything. So what's going to happen is when election time comes around and they get into all of this, it's going to be, you're not going to hear anything from Republicans aren't going to have any ads out there because they haven't moved. They haven't moved and they haven't bought any ad time, whether it's nationally or whether it's, in one of these battleground states. This is, what the hell's going on? I'm going to tell you what, I was in a room of people who were ticked off at RNC leadership last night. Oh my gosh, they were so mad, especially when I told them some of the stuff we're going to talk about today. They were very angry. This kind of goes in line with it. This is one of the things that they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be implementing a media strategy. Nikki Haley's not going to be the nominee, for crying out loud. They have to be implementing a media strategy. I'm all for letting everybody have their voices heard, but you know they're going to have a nominee, is my point. They're going to have a nominee. You know it's not going to be Haley. Fine. Go ahead. Go through that. I'm all for letting everybody have their votes in, even if it's, pretty much statistically decided at this point. I'm all for everybody participating and having their voices heard. I love that about our system. But that doesn't mean that Republicans can't plan for a media strategy. It doesn't mean that they know they're going to have a nominee. They know that they're going to be entering into general election season. Why the hell are they not doing anything? Why am I seeing all these articles about chunks of time, millions of dollars being spent in these battleground states by Democrats who are implementing this media strategy, and all we get is crickets and defenses about buying flowers from the RNC? I'm so done with this garbage. I'm about ready to rip everybody's hair out. I don't want to give another damn dime to that backwoods, ridiculous organization. This is why you got to donate directly to the candidates. It's so infuriating. But this is what we're dealing with. And they're broke because they are spending that kind of money. They spent more money on flowers than they did on get out the vote texting. Do you know how important get out the vote texting is? Get out the vote texting and other apparatuses like that helped tank the 2012 election, because Republicans didn't have it together then either. And it helped tank it. It really did. We're going to get into all of that. Budweiser is going to launch a, it's a $7 million Super Bowl commercial that they're paying. It's $7 million that they're paying with the Clydesdales. They're going to trot the Clydesdales back out, so hopefully you forget about Dylan Mulvaney. Is that going to work, Kane? Are you going to forget about the guy in the bathtub with the beer cans?
I would be more inclined if they said, hey, we've got a new formula. I got a new recipe for the beer. Then I'd be inclined to actually give it a shot and try it.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but that's what they're going to do. It's going to be $7 million. $7 million. And they're going to be coming out with this ad. It's going to air on us. I'm not into Super Bowl. I'm not into football. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I am. I'm not. I don't care. But they said that they're really excited about it. I guess they think that this is going to be their big comeback. You really think this is going to be Bud Light's big comeback? The Clydesdales are going to come out. You know what? They could shoot Dylan Mulvaney out of a cannon at this point, and I don't know.
Hey, now you're onto something.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that would actually work.
To something there, I think.
But like, not with his permission.
But I'm not surprised to see a business, you know, give it a go. I mean, this is what they're doing.
You know what they could do? They don't even need $7 million to do it. Drag your dummy executives on camera and have them apologize to everybody that they offended.
Wow. They could save so much money.
Dude, they could save so much money. I would go out and buy a brew right then. I don't drink it because it's what I wash my beer glasses in. But to support, I would go and do it. I can say that ever since InBev bought it. Dude, we're from St. Louis. We can talk all the smack in the world. We came up right. We're from St. Louis. Like, I live blocks from the brewery. I could smell the hops and barley every night. I drove past Clydesdales on my way to work. Yeah. I mean, we know. But after InBev, oh, man, everything's off the table now. All right, so we got a lot of stuff that we're hitting today. We got some cultural stuff. The latest, White House is blaming... we were talking about the Iran thing, the Islamic resistance. We were talking a little bit about that yesterday. We'll have some developments. We're also going to get into 2024. We got the border. We got the RNC. We got all kinds of stuff. So you don't want to miss a lot of stuff that we're hitting today, this Friday, getting you set up for the week. And then later on, we're going to talk to Jennifer Van Laar about, well, you're going to get really mad over the story. And I just don't know what to tell you. I'm really sorry about that. It's going to explain where all your donor money to the RNC has been going. I still sound like chill but tough, right? All right, as we move, I just want to go to the range and blow some holes through stuff. Yeah. Get my sub 2K. I need the Gen 3 now. I don't have the Gen 3, but I need the Gen 3. The sub 2K is a gun origami. The whole thing twists. It's a 9mm carbine. It's awesome. It's so innovative. I think George Kellgren's like a mad in a good way scientist. He's like one of the nicest people I've ever met. He just smiles. He's all very friendly, and he's a man of few words, but he's super smart. He redesigned this. You got the Gen 3, and in the old sub 2K, you would have to take your optics off the top, but you could still fold the whole thing in half, which is awesome. But you would have to take your stuff off. With the Gen 3, the whole thing, simple twist and fold motion. There's this patent pending rotating forend. You can twist it in either direction. It folds the whole thing right in half with optics and all. It's awesome. And it easily deploys it just as smoothly. And they've also upgraded the aluminum trigger. They redesigned the trigger mechanics. You got a lightened 5-pound pull, upgraded action. They got a new chamber indicator. It's awesome. It's Kel-Tec, made in America, family owned values at its best. And we need more companies like Kel-Tec. And I need a sub 2K Gen 3. To learn more about the sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Did your own tax dollars help pay for the massacre in Israel? As the federal government continues to give billions to fund most of the United Nations, turns out 10% of members on their active payroll helped perpetrate Hamas's attacks in Israel. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Another blow for EVs. I got to tell you, I had to take my car in again, and they gave me an EV to drive. Remind me to come back after that, because I hate all of them to death. And you car people out there are going to die laughing at me, but we're going to talk about it. Anyway, another blow for EVs. Ford's redesigned America's best-selling SUV, the new $44,000 Explorer, gas only. The poor-selling hybrid was ditched. How sweet is that? I'm so stoked about that. I mean, you know, people aren't buying it. If they're buying it, that's fine. But if they're not buying it, don't force it on them. Let's see. This, over 500 journalists were laid off. Journalists, really? That's the word we're using? Over 500 journalists were laid off in January 2024 alone. That's according to Politico. They say the job cuts come after. You know why, you absolute blockheads? You know why? Because you guys voted for a dude who decided to jack up taxes. And guess what happens in an economy when inflation's running rampant? Wages aren't keeping up with the cost of living due to economic policy. Everything's more expensive. You have advertisers and all of these companies, they cut their advertising budgets first. That's what ends up happening. And then they cut advertising budgets. They cut anything that's non-essential. They start laying off journalists. They start laying off all this. And when you're losing out ads and people are cutting distro with subscription and everything else, like what do you think is going to happen? Duh. I mean, this is exactly what happens. And because they probably weren't that good. Brad Pitt is circling, he's going to be in a Quentin Tarantino movie. I'm very excited. Tarantino always said this is going to be his final one. And he's sticking to it. Tarantino is one of my absolute favorite film directors that has ever existed. Brad Pitt's circling this role in Tarantino's film called The Movie Critic. They worked on Inglourious Basterds together, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is one of the most brilliant movies ever. It was so great. So it looks like it's going to be called The Movie Critic, his 10th and apparently final film. He's always said he was going to do 10. I mean, he's had his whole career mapped out. I remember when he was out promoting Death Proof, which is my favorite chick flick. He was out promoting Death Proof, and he was saying that, you know, he has, you know, a timeline. He wants to do, you know, this many films, and he doesn't want to do more than that. I think he's going to stick to it, but this should be pretty good. So Brad Pitt's attached to it. I think that Brad Pitt does well in Tarantino films. Let's see. Musla is seeking Tesla shareholder votes on moving incorporation to Texas. I started seeing this yesterday. So they said they're holding their share. They held their shareholder vote. They want to move to Texas from Delaware. I didn't know they were incorporated in Delaware. I didn't know that. Huh. So they're moving to Texas. Look, I learned stuff from my headlines. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. As we move, our partners over at Hillsdale College, an actual educational institution. And they're there to make sure people learn still. Thank heavens. This, if you've never been there, Hillsdale is a small Christian classical liberal arts college. It's in southern Michigan. And they have been really trying to focus on this crisis in American education, a national crisis. People are just not taught about our American heritage or, for instance, the difference between natural or civil rights. So they've been producing these 60-second radio spots called Constitution Minutes. They're short, clear lessons on the principles of liberty. And you can reserve your free pocket copy, your free pocket constitution, a copy of that, when you go to Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And learn everything about just the founding of our country. They have the Constitution Minutes. They have the Pocket Constitution. They also have deep dives on a lot of discussions, like the founding of the country, when the Declaration of Independence was drafted, so much. And they educate everyone, irrespective of any identity politics. It's only merit and character. To hear Constitution Minute, visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And while you're there, reserve your free copy of your pocket constitution, courtesy of Hillsdale. That's Dana4FORHillsdale.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
This particular crew operated on mopeds and scooters. They were doing organized retail theft. They were doing snatches on the street, iPhones, iPads, clothing, so on and so forth. One of them that they are still seeking has 10 charges on one day because he's part of a pattern that's been going on. And I'm looking at the dates that their arrest started, which is probably close to when they got here. They've only been here a couple of months. So what the detectives are telling me is they have crews here that operate in New York, do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money, and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you go to jail in Florida. But you don't, if you're in New York, you get a wrist slap and
no bail.
No bail. And then you're free to walk out. You're free to leave. Isn't that nice? Did you see that? Did you see that jack wagon who put up two fingers?
Yeah.
The memes were interesting. This is when I wish I could take the memes and put them over the radio airwaves, because the memes were hysterical. There was one of Joe Biden putting a medal around that dude's neck.
Yeah.
And they caught the other guy and they let him go too. So, I mean, there's no law and order. As I said this yesterday, and I brought this up again when I gave my speech last night, because this is the fit. None of these dudes are here legally. Five dudes, not a single one of these dudes are here legally. Not a single one. Every damn one of them got into the country illegally. Kane, what happens if you do something like that in Mexico?
If an American does it? Or
yeah,
if
you got five Americans. Let's say five Americans illegally entered Mexico and beat up a cop in Mexico City.
They would kick you out in a heartbeat. Or they may send you to the cartel. Either way.
I mean, probably. I mean, it's either way, it's not going to end up well for you. It's not going to go good for you. It's going to end up horribly. Five suspects arrested, charged robbery, felony, assault, allowed to walk away. Allowed to just walk. And nothing's going to happen to them. Nothing's going to happen. All five, they were all, I think the oldest is what, 24? Youngest was, there's two 19-year-olds, and I think the oldest was 24.
Refugees.
Refugees, my ass. They're not refugees. Not even refugees. I don't even start. Oh my gosh. I just get so, you know why I get so mad about this? Because there are people out there legitimately, like, you know, whistleblowers that are trying to blow the whistle on the cartel, or people who are trying to do other stuff that are actually fighting for, against oppression of their people in their country of origin. And those people are targeted. And, you know, I briefly told you the story of a woman that I had met and again worked with, like, tequila sourcing and all this other stuff, and was saying that when she was a child, her family had to seek legitimate asylum in the United States because her dad was in business, his brother, inadvertently, not on purpose, and I don't think he had a lot of free will to do it. They had their construction company used to help launder money for the cartel. And the dad was trying to get out of it, so they killed the dad, because the dad wasn't going to go along with it. So they killed her dad. They shot up her house. Then they blew up her house, blew up their cars, all of that. She said she remembers seeing bullet holes in her slide, her swing set. Bullet holes in her swing set. Like, they didn't care. And they had to literally flee in the cover of night. Her mom, and two of her siblings. And then they ended up killing her uncle. To leave the country and seek asylum and try to get asylum into the United States. That's a legitimate asylum claim. These are not refugees. They're not seeking anything. It's so asinine. Republicans got to stop being afraid to talk about it the way it needs to be talked about. You want good people to come in the country. You do. I mean, we could sit here and have discussions about falling birth rates and all this other stuff that the right finds so uncomfortable because they don't know how to message it, and they get cowed by the left. But you want to be able to have good people come in the United States. I want more people like me who want to be left alone, don't want to have the government steal half their wealth, and they just want to live their lives, raise their kids, live a good life, you know, have some dogs, have some guns, you know, live the good life. That's what we want. I want those type of people. I don't want these dudes, but the way that they have the system set up, you're not getting the good kind of people. You're getting these dudes. And then you let them walk after they whoop up cops in New York City. Good grief. That's insane. Now, Eric Adams is like, I guess it's time to look into deportation. Dude, I was told that was racist. Kane, he was told he was half racist. His white half was racist for thinking that, agreeing with that. See, I mean, you're... We were told that was racist and that we were what is it, betraying the spirit of whatever is on the Statue of Liberty, blah, 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 blah. I don't even care. But that's what we were told, correct? Yeah. So is Eric Adams a giant, big old racist now? Assume so. Meanwhile, don't look to the RNC for messaging. We're going to deep dive on this with Jennifer Van Laar coming up, but I gotta get some of this out of my system now. Do you know they spent, let's just compare. They spent money on the most absurd things possible. Why is it that the people with the champagne taste and the beer budget, they spend money on the stupidest stuff? So, case in point, they had, let's see here. Oh, floral arrangements. This was just, I think, for one cycle, $70,328. And I get that flowers are expensive right now, but for real, that much? Now, compare that to how much they spent on get out the vote texting, $86,000. They spent over $500,000 on donor gifts. Over a quarter of a million on office supply. What are you buying? Are you going to paper rifle company to buy your office supplies? Where are you going? Where are you buying your supplies at? The spending is stupid. They spent over $80,000 a month on management consulting. I don't even know what to say to this. They also spent, I mean, just the money that is being wasted. And this is important, because whenever you say, I had somebody mention this to me last night. Why doesn't the GOP run an ad on this? Well, this is why. Because they're broke. This is why. When you don't see ads on your TV, it's because of stuff like this. That's exactly it. I mean, it's amazing to me that they have been allowed to get away with this long. And it's amazing that people just, I can't believe this isn't a bigger issue. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do going into November. You're already seeing they're going to try to switch the polling. The polling, I think, in 2016, 2018, 2020, and 2022 was stupid and bunk, because it predicted a bunch of stuff that didn't happen. Right. Although I will say, less so in some of these last elections, less so in 2022. Because then they decided to be a little bit more honest. But I think that they're trying to lull you into a sense of complacency so that you don't organize and you don't volunteer and you don't donate. Because that's what it's going to take from everybody out there. I was trying to impress upon this, this in my message last night. This is what it's going to take from everyone out there, because you can't expect these groups. Good grief, they're spending all their money on florist arrangements. They don't have time for this. They don't have time to go out and do what needs to be done. That means you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to pick up the slack. And it's that important of an election where you can't say no. That important of an election. And so we're gonna talk to Jennifer about that, because I don't even want to see like the latest quarter. I don't even want to see that. A couple of other things. So we were getting into some of the culture stuff. We got some of the Bidenomics. We got some jobs data in. Why were they trying to act like it was good news, Kane? I'm really on the struggle bus with this. I feel like there was an organized effort on social media to act like this was so great. The economy, look how much better it's doing. According to what measure? Are they not? I don't think the hiring was the lowest for the month on record. Why are they trying to act like, oh, we got some jobs?
Also, I encourage people to look at the breakdown of these jobs, because they count government jobs as jobs created. And for me, that is a lie and a complete misleading of what's happening in our free market.
Wasn't there more public jobs created than private?
Yes. So more people taking from the tax base than contributing to the tax base? Yes, that is correct.
And we also had, layoffs surged. And then we also had, and this was Wall Street Journal. Companies had announced the highest level of job cuts last month since early 23. I don't understand how they're trumpeting this as a huge success story, because all the headlines that I see, so when I wake up in the morning, I look and I see what's trending, and I go back and I kind of look at what I have slated. I usually try to slate the show the night before, and then I go and look in the morning and see what's changed for the things that I have slated. And because we knew that these numbers were coming out. I'm like, oh, we're going to have to talk about jobs numbers. And I just left it blank. I'm like, I'm not going to. Because I knew what was coming. And then I go and I look at the headlines. What did they say? Outsized job growth, blah, blah, blah. All the headlines were celebrating major growth for Bidenomics. Bidenomics makes a comeback. It never actually had a heartbeat. I don't know what they're talking about. And all of those headlines were what was being pushed. And there was an organized effort on social media to really push that out there too. So that was what was trending. So if you looked on Facebook, if you looked on X, wherever, TikTok, that anything related to jobs trending were all of these headlines. They all had the same info. They all had the same talking points. They're trying to convince you that you're not broke. I mean, sure, you can't barely afford the roof over your head and you're probably eating bugs, but hey, you're not broke. Strong economy. But it's not a strong economy. I mean, you know that. You can feel it. But there's an economic surge, all right. It's not what they're saying it is.
Right. And another good point was made by Stephen Moore in Cut 13. We do have time to play it.
Yes, let's listen to
Juan, if you want to play Cut 13, this is his explanation, too, as to maybe why you were seeing maybe some more jobs numbers ticking upward.
Yeah. Listen.
This is an important thing. I didn't see the numbers for this recent report because I haven't been able to look through the report, but I've looked through the last three or four. And what you're seeing is that there's been a big, big leap. Remember, we talked about this last month of multiple job holders, people who have to work two or three jobs just to maintain their living standards. So that's a tough thing for people.
So they're trying to say, oh, my gosh, look, you look at all the jobs it created. Yeah, but it's like my third job.
Three low-paying jobs.
Yay, but it's jobs created. And that's all they tell you. And they don't put it into context. They don't tell you, oh, that's, yes, three low-paying jobs because there's not enough to support a higher-paying position. Yes. And these are supposed to be successes. Republicans should be hammered. Oh my gosh, I'm going to pull my hair out if I have to say that one more time.
You know what? They'll probably adjust these numbers down in about 25 to 30 days from now.
Oh, you know they will. It's going to be where's the GOP messaging on this? I swear, I need to stick my boot up these people's backside. They should be all over this. I mean, they should have memes ready to go. But they don't. They don't have anything. Okay, I'm going to get mad here, and my voice won't hold up if I start getting super loud and sassy. So we don't want that, right? We don't want that. I still sound like chill but tough, right? Yeah. I'm going to get myself all worked up later when Jen's running down these numbers for us, and heaven help us all. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Wise Foods. I mean, I don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. All I know is this. When emergencies strike, the last thing that I want to worry about or ask about is where my next meal is coming from. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. When you visit wisefoodstorage.com and type in Dana in the search bar, you're going to get access to all these exclusive deals like they're on their best-selling products, like their 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. It includes two boxes, 12 pouches, a premium survival food, 11,100 total calories in each kit. And it's all made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life as well. Also, the Heirloom Seed Vault, 39 varieties of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. Each kit has more than 4,500 seeds in it, and it has a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar to access those exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. That's wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. Type Dana in the search bar.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Atmosphere is a wonderful thing, and we can create our own and the weather it brings. It brings hope for the future and so much more. Maybe some Punxsutawney Phil write-in votes in 2024. But what this weather did not provide is a shadow or reason to hide. Glad tidings on this Groundhog Day. An early spring is on the way.
Did they drug that rat? Because he was real chill in that guy's arms. That's that tree rat, Punxsutawney Phil. I like him. I like all those animals. He looks cuddly. Doesn't he?
You say tree rat, but he's literally a groundhog.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, a ground rat. Whatever. It's like a type of rat. I like him because he's fat and he's snuggleable.
And he's chill.
Yeah, he looks chill because you know why? Because they learned their lesson. They saw de Blasio murk that one. He yeeted that thing right on the concrete. And they were like, you see what happens? So do you know where this rat lives?
In a hole? Not a hole?
Well, not just any hole.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Gobbler's Knob.
Oh.
Do you know that? Steve probably knew it. You know, Steve's on the East Coast, so he knows all the weird East Coast stuff. Y'all got weird stuff out there. Got a rat that comes out and at the knob, and drops a deuce on the shady side of the tree, it's winter for five more weeks or something? Isn't that what it is?
That's in Yinzer. Yeah. That's in Yinzer country out there. That's where my uncle lives, out in Johnstown. But
Yinzer country, yeah. I love it. I love it. But isn't that how it goes? Or wait, is it, if they? And you know what happens? It's only magical if they wear the top hats. He's just a regular rat, but they got to put the top hats on because science. Top hats make everything fancy. You know, if you just have like, you know, Umbros, wife beater, dirty flip flops, that's basic. You put a top hat with that, you're styling.
It's
that's
literally
fancy.
What John Fetterman does.
I give him a pass. I'm not going to make fun of John Fetterman as long as he keeps doing like nice stuff.
A tuxedo hoodie is fire.
I'll give it. It's fire. Like, you know, he's casual, but he's also here to be formal, you know. So Punxsutawney Phil, what did he do? He saw, so it's an early spring.
Yeah, he didn't see a shadow, right?
If he was to see it,
then we'd have 6 weeks of winter.
I want to know what high as all get out pilgrim came up with this. Like, who sits there and goes, look at that rat coming out?
What are you, a science questioner now?
Yeah. If it sees its shadow, it sounds like a drunk bet. If it sees its shadow, we're going to have winter. I'll take you up on that.
I bet you that's exactly how it got started.
I mean, some of the best traditions in the country got started like that.
Bet you 2 pints he won't see a shadow.
Yeah, bet you 2 pints he's not going to see a shadow. Well, he just defecated on the south side of the tree, so it looks like there's going to be spring. There it is. So I want a groundhog. Can you have them as pets? Is that possible? I'm curious. I'm legitimately curious about this. We have a whole other hour on the way while I ponder the groundhog situation. Stick with us. As we move, our partners, Black Rifle Coffee Company, a veteran-owned, veteran-operated company, and they make the best coffee that is out there, and they do a lot for first responder and veteran causes, too. And unlike some of these other cats out there, they don't just import roasted beans in, white label them, and light everybody and act like they did it themselves. They actually roast their stuff 6 days a week, right? 5 or 6 days a week out of Tennessee and Utah. And if you don't want to settle for bland, overpriced, over-roasted, mediocre coffee, you can get the high-quality Black Rifle Coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A., delivered right to your door with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. When you become a member, you get 30% off your first subscription order using code DANA. Choose your blend, your favorite brew. Pick your quantity, how often you want to have it delivered right to your doorstep. You pick your delivery schedule, you're done. And you can also find all kinds of stuff. In addition to, you know, the roast that you choose from, the AK-47 espresso, the thin blue line medium roast, silencer smooth, whatever your jam is. You can also find grinders, mugs, kettles, everything you need for that perfect brew, all at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. So visit today, join the Black Rifle Coffee Club, get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Check it out. The woman says, oh, he's just walking out. He's going to pay for that. I said, well, why are you stopping him? She goes, oh, the governor. I swear to God, true story. On my mom's grave. The governor lowered the threshold. There's no accountability. I said, that's just not true. And she said, we have the 10th toughest, $950, the 10th toughest in America. She doesn't even know what I was talking about. By the way, it's the 10th toughest in America. Look it up. No one gives a damn about that. And I said, it's just not true. There's still a stop. They said, well, we don't stop them because of the governor. And then she goes, she looks at me twice, and then she freaks out. She calls everyone over, wants to take photos. I'm like, no, I'm not taking a photo. We're having a conversation. Where's your manager? How are you blaming the governor? And it was, you know, $380 later. And I was like, why am I spending $380? Everyone can walk the hell right out.
Wow. He sounds like a true statesman, doesn't he? That's Gavin Newsom. He's just a total. He gets blamed for a shoplifting incident, and he gets mad, and he's like, "I didn't do this." But you kind of did, though, dude. I mean, that was. He was surprised when the employees didn't intervene because there's no why. What's the purpose of them? Nothing's going to happen to the guy. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. And that was California Governor Gavin Newsom. You could see his video. He was like on a Zoom call. If you were watching the simulcast of the radio program, which you can watch Channel 347 DirecTV, you can also listen to the radio program across the country. Yes, I'm on the mend from the plague. I'm doing a lot better. But it's thank you for your kind wishes. And everyone's like telling me, I did not realize, can I just say sidebar real quick? Y'all have so many different recipes for chicken noodle soup. What is happening? Oh my gosh. I've got like 50. Yep. I didn't know it was such a contested thing. I feel like putting everyone in a cage and having everyone fight it out to see whose chicken noodle soup is the best. We're just about at that point. All right, so that was Gavin Newsom saying he was at a Target, you know, and there was a shoplifting incident and he got blamed to his face. And the worker didn't recognize him. Do you get the impression that he was mad that he wasn't recognized? That was the first thing I thought. I was like, bro's mad that he didn't get recognized. Huh, look at that. And she said, the governor lowered the threshold. There's no accountability. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Because you did that. And he's like, how are you blaming the governor? Yeah, you get to walk right out. I mean, he is literally the problem. He's been in, I mean, when he was mayor of San Francisco, he was pushing this stuff. I mean, good grief. They've lowered so many felonies to reduce them to misdemeanors. And he's like, oh, if someone steals a Target with no consequences, it's the manager's problem. I mean, so you were part of this.
They increased the amount of theft. Like, it used to be around 500. Now it's up near $1,000.
Yeah, it's like $860-something.
Before they will prosecute. Yeah. So, please.
And you just get a wrist slap. It's a misdemeanor offense. It's a misdemeanor. It used to be greater than that. And it was, you could get charged over it. Now they don't do that anymore. Don't you realize? I mean, you can go and steal $500, $800 worth of stuff and walk right out. And nothing's going to happen to you. I mean, that's why, one of the reasons why you're seeing what you see, like all these stores getting ransacked and everything else. I mean, that's not, you know, and you're expecting these employees, and probably he was talking to a part-time employee. Is he like expecting these employees to intervene and stop and maybe put themselves in harm's way over something that the system isn't even going to enforce and follow up on? Like, he was mad that they didn't intervene and engage. But yet his policies and the policies that he pushed, not just when he was mayor of San Francisco, but when he was attorney general of the state of California, he absolutely promoted and campaigned on these things. And he expects them to put their safety and their physical selves in the way, on the line, to enforce something that they're not even going to press charges on. Why the hell would you? I mean, golly, is that not the epitome of privilege? This trust fund baby, and that's what he is. Gavin Newsom is a Nepo baby. I'm getting tired of these Nepo babies. He's a trust fund kid. It's the Newsoms, the Pelosis, the Hearsts, and the Gettys that run California, particularly San Francisco. Remember back, and this kind of makes sense. This will enlighten you to how he can have this perspective with a straight face. When was this? This was 2 years ago. Let me look this up. I'm going to make sure I got this right. This was 2 years ago. And this was when I think everything was still, maybe 3 years ago. And it was, no, sorry, 2020, November 2021. So this is when everything was still kind of locked down, especially in San Francisco. And so they're one of the Gettys, and it was one of the billionaire daughters of the Getty family. They ended up, and this is when everyone else had, you had to wear masks in California. And we had friends who lived in LA and San Francisco at this time. And my friend, who used to be a Democrat, now she's a moderate. But she was in San Francisco. This was like it, because she got in trouble for going to a park with her 2-year-old son and she didn't have a face mask on. And she literally, someone literally said something to her, and they had to put, she had to put a face mask on at a park outside San Francisco. I'm not even making this up. So anyway, keep that in mind. So it was in San, it was at San Francisco City Hall, and it was this huge Beaux-Arts building, right? This huge rotunda, very nice setting. And it was Ivy Getty. She's this very rich member of the Getty family. She, they flew John Galliano in, who was this designer who used to work with Alexander McQueen and all of this stuff. He's, he went away for a little bit because he got drunk and went on an anti-Semitic tirade at a cafe, and it was captured on video. And then so he kind of had like this fall from grace, and he's been away for a decade. Now he's coming back. And so he cut, he did her gown and all her bridesmaids' dresses, and they took photos of it. You're all sitting at home, right? You can't go nowhere. You're all sitting at home because it's locked down. Your businesses are closed down. You got to wear diapers on your face when you go out. But they're flying in John Galliano to do her dress and all this. And they had everybody at this wedding. They had everybody at this wedding. And and some of the people at this wedding included, it was all the circle that they run in. So they, you, Gavin Newsom and his wife were there. Other Newsom family members were there. They had, the Pelosis were there. I mean, all of them, because they all know each other and they all kind of grew up together. And everything else was locked down. And they had all of these people sitting in this rotunda, and they did not have face masks on. None of them. I mean, none of them had face masks on. They had a huge event the night before, and they all partied. Nobody had face masks on. Again, you still couldn't eat out in a restaurant, but whatever. And then the next day, they had the big wedding and then the big party. And then it just, and again, no face masks, everything else. And Newsom was, he was at all of these events because he's pictured at all of these events with his wife. I mean, he was like right in one of the front rows, or in the front at least, at this wedding. That all happened when you all had to have your kids do remote learning, when everyone, businesses were shutting down, things were closed. You couldn't do, you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't fly anywhere. You couldn't do nothing. They did that. So just understand the perspective that this dude has. And that event, by the way, that he went to, that came after the French Laundry thing. Remember, that was right after things locked down and he was pictured without a mask at French Laundry. So he's done this repeatedly. So that's the perspective he has. He has grown up with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he's never had to ask for anything. He's been bankrolled by his family. He's a nepo baby. And he's got the benefit of coming from two wealthy families, and they know all these other wealthy families, and they get to do whatever they want. And there's no question, no nothing about it. And so that's it gives you a little insight how he expects, you know, minimum wage or part-time workers at Target, due to his policies, they have to allow shoplifters to walk. And he's outraged that they didn't put themselves in harm's way and do what he could have done easily with policy. Does that give you some insight into this guy? Why in the hell would anybody consider, how do Democrats claim to be on the side of the blue collar dude and support somebody like this? I mean, how in the world? He is everything that is wrong with excess. And it is everything. We did not want an aristocracy in the United States. They have tried to make one. It is some aristocratic BS. Why would anybody want this dude? I had a question last night from somebody who was like, oh, I think it's going to be Michelle Obama. I think she's going to run. She's not going to run. First off, she's messed the filing deadline in a number of states. It's not going to happen. But secondly, she doesn't want to do the work. And thirdly, it's Newsom. It's Newsom's turn. Andrew Cuomo was going to be the guy that they were going to run. But remember, with the nursing home, the deaths with the coronavirus and all of that, that he, you know, helped cause, that, you know, pretty much ended that, ended his political dreams. That was it. And so now Newsom is their fallback guy, because it was going to be Cuomo Newsom. Now Newsom is their fallback guy. They don't have anybody after Newsom. I asked a room full of people last night. I said, who can name me besides Gavin Newsom? Name me the next in line for the Democrat Party. And these were smart, like successful business people, you know, activists. And they all looked at each other and they literally didn't know. They were like, wow, we've never actually, we don't know. Nobody. I even threw out, well, what about Big Gretch? You know, that female Paul Bunyan up in Michigan. What about her? That's right. And that's not, you know, I just threw that out as like a help. But think, Kane, you can't think anybody either, can you? There's nobody. It's you can't. No. Kane can't think anybody.
No. No, but I mean, I've had that Michelle Obama theory for a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, Democrats have only proven they'll change the rules to accommodate whatever it is they want to do as they lead on into an election or a committee, whatever it is. They've already
proven. Well, they did. They changed the bylaws in case they need somebody to step up.
So they've proven they'll do it. So it's all speculative up to this, you know, up to November. Because they can change the rules to accommodate whatever it is they decide.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something else. It is absolutely something else. So they really started hurting themselves after who was it? I was trying to think of the people who were pioneering Barack Obama's digital strategy, because when he ran in 2008, he took Howard Dean's online fundraising apparatus and built on it. And when he left the White House, they basically took all that with them and they kind of left Democrats high and dry, and they sucked up all the resources that normally would be used for promoting and grooming the next generation of young guns, you know, Democrat leaders. He wanted to protect his legacy, so they didn't do that. So they really, you know, shot themselves in the foot here. They don't have anything else. So it's interesting. Very interesting.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here. So, first up, oh gosh, but before you, why is this a Spotify tattoo? Why are people doing this? If you get a Spotify tattoo, artists say you need to know the risks. What? I didn't even know a Spotify tattoo was a thing, but apparently it is.
QR codes too.
Oh my gosh, what is up? It's only a matter of time before somebody starts like tattooing their OnlyFans QR code on their skin. Oh my, I just gave somebody an idea. I don't know what's happening. So anyway, apparently every piece of content on Spotify has blah, 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 soundbars, Spotify code. And if you tattoo it on your arm, you can scan it and it plays the content. And so people have that on there, but they say that it's like a party trick, but I don't know. I just feel like Spotify's not going to be around for forever. Right?
Like a tattoo would.
Yeah, like a tattoo would. And then when you're 70 years old, you have to explain to your kid who's your grandchild how the service that doesn't exist anymore, how this works. All right, so apparently, why are they going after... Well, I'm going to pull this story up. Hang on. Everything's slow for a moment. And your girl's about to choke to death. Okay, so this headline is garbage. It says contaminated raw milk sold in several Pennsylvania counties, prompting warnings. Okay, I have no problem with raw food. If you know what you're purchasing, then why you should be able to purchase it? Why is this such a huge deal? I mean, and it's actually raw milk is good for you. All this pasteurization and the homogenization and all this stuff. I remember Rossum out in California. That's like it was like a Costco for raw food. Like it was like a members only thing. And so you knew that you were getting like raw unpasteurized milk, and they raided it and they were accusing them. The feds like went in with full auto, no joke. They raided it and they went in and they were accusing them of selling raw milk and tricking people. And all these people were like, it's literally called Rossum, a raw food store.
Yeah.
And we pay to purchase premium raw
and
food.
And it's actually even worse than that. What they'll do is when they raid them, they let this stuff sit out for hours before they take it to the lab to test. And then they're like, oh, look at how bad this stuff is that they're selling. It's like, no, you let this sit outside for 5 hours before you even took it to the lab. This is a BS headline.
Yeah, totally. So a junior high principal is fired for stealing seven cups of coffee. Half cups of coffee. Fresh. What? Oh, so this is in Japan. Oh, yeah, you can't be doing that. Oh, that's a big bad no-no. That's rude. They have different things, different ways of living over there. Yeah, this guy, he went into the... He was supposed to pay 110 yen, like equivalent of 75 cents for a regular coffee, and apparently he didn't, and he stole it, so he got in trouble. A major taxidermied polar bear was stolen in a bizarre Canadian heist. I'm not saying it was me, but there would be signs. The public has been asked to keep an eye out for a giant 12-foot-tall stuffed polar bear north of Edmonton. So they're still looking. They're trying to find out the culprit. Jennifer Van Laar from Red State joins us next.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour, and you can listen coast to coast in a market near you. You can stream the radio show. You can watch the video portion, the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. We were talking about the mess that the RNC is in, and what is the GOP strategy going into the most important election cycle ever? They're broke in a number of different states. They're broke nationally. Their messaging is absent on some of the most important issues that voters are considering leaving the Democrat Party over, and they're MIA. Jennifer Van Laar over at Red State does such amazing work. She was the one who was warning y'all, by the way, about Gavin Newsom. That was her. And she did this exclusive deep dive. So if you see this repurposed, it's her work. But she did this huge deep dive on how much the RNC has spent. And as usual, she just knocked it out of the park with this. This is going to make y'all mad. Jennifer joins us now via Skype. So good to see you. This is a great piece. And you always do such great work over at Red State. I mean, you're one of the first people. If you haven't written about it, I'm like, I got to wait to see what Jennifer writes about it first. But this is shocking. I mean, just from what I read, and I'm going to have you talk to everybody about this, they spent, like, for instance, more on floral arrangements than get out the vote texting. Where's their priorities at?
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking with all of that. And there's actually another $45,000 in floral that I did not put on there because it was for a fundraiser. So it was coded as fundraising expenses. So I didn't want to just, you know, slam them on that. But then they came back trying to claim I wasn't showing all of the DNC's floral. They're like, whatever. Do we need flowers, period?
Right.
It's not about...
The DNC's not the one that's broke.
Right. They're winning.
This is... So Jennifer went through all of this, all of the finances. She looked at everything, where all the spending was going, where the money was coming in from. How bad is it? Like, how much are they being outgunned financially by Democrats right now?
I mean, well, first of all, they have a lot more cash on hand. They sent at least $10 million more to state parties. That's not even including all the things that the DNC paid for state parties for things like data services subscriptions and things that directly go to get out the vote. There's another few million dollars there. So we're talking $13, $15 million at least that were being outspent just going to state parties. And then the DNC also spent like $1 million on canvassing that the national party did. That our national party isn't doing. They're just sending out these contracts to connected people, really for things that aren't measurable, for things like management consulting, where you don't get like a data strategy thing. You might get a report, you might get something measurable, but they're giving out $15,000 type of a month contracts on that.
Wow. Yeah, the consulting, I'm just looking at some of what, and Jennifer Van Laar's piece is up at redstate.com. I'm just looking at some of the, I mean, a long list, and I get it, you know, that every party works with a lot of consultants, but what are they getting for it, though? I mean, they have a string of losses, you know, post-2016, we see states struggling. I mean, I was reading that they were getting outmaneuvered with media buys by Democrats who were just buying up airtime and sitting on it because Republicans can't afford to do it right now, and they probably won't be able to afford to do it coming up. I mean, this is all the different consultants. Is that unusual to have this many? It seems excessive.
For management consulting, I think that there is a place for consultants in politics and in all business, but it needs to be on things that are specialized things where people build up expertise and that you can't keep on staff because it's too expensive to keep that staff. But they're not doing it that way. They're doing it just doling it out. They also paid almost $100,000 just in 13 months to the guy that's the treasurer for WinRed for management consulting.
I love how vague they all, because I agree, like they should have some sort of expertise that the campaign lacks, but it just kind of seems like that's like a free for all for everybody's friends and all of their groups. The office supply thing that you cited in July 2023, a study found, you were looking at how much people spend on office supplies. Oh my goodness. They said, you said an office supply expenditure of $86,000. That's kind of in line with industry standards. That's not what the RNC did though.
No, they did 300,000. And they're trying to say, well, that includes all these other categories of, you know, office equipment or things like that. But that number that I quoted should cover break room stuff. It should cover janitorial. It should cover all these things. And they even have a separate janitorial expense. They spent $60,000 on break room supplies.
What? Where are they getting them at? Oh, my gosh.
Well, when you get Instacart sent to the office all the time, then it adds up.
Oh, my word. The RNC Youth Advisory Committee co-chair got paid 26 something thousand dollars. It reads like a free for all. It reads like a blank check. And they're just giving all this donor money to I'm just shocked by this. I'm shocked at how bad it is.
I am too. And I was getting more shocked as I worked on it over a two month period. And by the end, I was asking some coworkers, am I crazy? Is it just that I'm in the middle of all this and I think it's terrible and it's really not? And they looked at it. No, Jen, it's really terrible. And these amounts like that, the $26,000, that's a $3,500, $3,700 a month contract to a 20-year-old.
Wow. Wow. I think the youth is important. I'm not going to get all Whitney Houston about it. You know, children are future, whatever. But at the same time, I'm just like, you need to bring something to the table if you're going to be lecturing voters about their taxes and how they're going to be spending their Social Security and retirement and all this other stuff. That seems excessive. You know, I mean, I'm just shocked by all this. I mean, you get into the liquor, the beverages, the coffee. What was the thing that shocked you the most when you were digging through this and all the things that you uncovered?
I think part of it was one thing I didn't even really report because it was just there's so much was they spent $110,000 in restaurants around Washington, D.C. in 13 months and billed it to catering for fundraisers.
Wow.
And that's two transactions a day, averaging $185 each. So when you look at it like that, you're going, how can all of this possibly be legitimate? And $270,000 to a company called Savoia, which is an executive car company that you can get monthly contracts. They're saying that they didn't rent any limos with that. None at all. And I'm going, okay, well, show us your monthly statement with it that's itemized.
Yeah.
And we can see. But until then, I don't believe it.
Yeah. And I mean, Jennifer, for those who don't know, she's got screenshots and all the receipts on here. Now, when you came out with this, when you first published this story, the reaction from the RNC was pretty hostile. What happened?
Well, first, before I even published it, they kept me from publishing for 24 hours by sending me on just wild goose chases of what they were trying to justify. And once I realized that it was a delay tactic, I just said, okay, I'll incorporate some of what you told me and I'll just put the facts and let the facts go where they go.
Yeah.
So then they sent out a debunking email, allegedly, to the 168, calling me dishonest and biased and all that kind of thing. And they had remade my chart to how they thought it should be. But they took out the limos and they took out the get out the vote texting because that doesn't make it look good for them. And then the comms director went after me on Twitter last night. So they've been pretty extremely hostile and defamatory, actually.
Wow. For an organization that has trouble with messaging and has trouble with finances, that seems like the wrong move to make because Jennifer's not going to back down. She's not going to change her reporting on this. I mean, they should be apologizing. They should be apologizing for being poor stewards of donor money. I mean, are they and they wonder why so few people are donating to the RNC anymore.
Right. They should be apologizing to all the donors, to all of the candidates that they're failing, to all of the grassroots organizations that need that infrastructure and leadership from someone. I mean, if they were spending a little bit of money on leadership consulting that was legitimate, maybe I could be behind that.
Yeah.
But clearly they're not.
I mean, the get out the vote texting efforts and a lot of the canvassing, that thing is really terrifying. I just remember back in 2012 when they had the big technical fail with getting out the vote for Romney the day of. They didn't test any of their infrastructure and it was just a giant disaster. I don't know how many votes that cost. It was a huge disaster. And it looks like they're trying to seed the ground to do it again. And it's not just the national party too, state by state parties. There are several that are near bankruptcy if they're not bankrupt already or they have $90 in the bank account. This is a huge systemic problem. Clearly throughout the entire party. If they keep on this track, what do you foresee for November?
I mean, actually, if Biden is so terrible, Trump could still get a win. The problem with that is that then someone like Ron is going to take credit for it, and they're going to take that as a mandate to keep the same leadership in place. And speaking of data, they say that Data Trust, the $1 million that they sent there, that should all be accounted as voter file maintenance, which there's no way that it is, because Data Trust does a lot of other things. Yeah. And I'm sure you, like me, know a lot of people in grassroots that work with Campaign Sidekick and other things, and that data is not up to date in any way. Or is it in a very usable form?
Wow. I mean, this is echoes of 2012 all over again. That's really frightening. This is such great work that you've done. You can find Jennifer's stuff over at redstate.com. And she's also on Twitter at Jen Van Laar, two A's. And I would suggest, or X now, I would suggest you go follow her on that. You've done great work. Keep it up. I mean, I know the RNC gets mad at you, but I mean, so many people wouldn't know this if you hadn't dug through it and reported on it.
The 168 wouldn't even know it. They don't even give the 168 this level.
Wow.
But thank you.
Wow, you do great work, and thank you so much, and I can't wait to see what you come out with next. So thank you so much, Jennifer Van Laar at redstate.com. Yeah, this is, and I put this out in your show prep, so you have the story, her story that she wrote, but that's infuriating. That is so infuriating.
I'll drop it in the YouTube description.
Yeah, we'll have it in the YouTube description as well.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some of these headlines are just so funny. So this Florida man, who is apparently a self-proclaimed bear trainer.
Oh. Okay.
You're
still alive. You're pretty good.
Yeah, in Okaloosa County. Apparently, the guy got in trouble because two Kodiak bear cubs escaped from an inadequate enclosure on his property. ABC Channel 3 has the story. They said that two Kodiak cubs found their way to the Sunshine State via a, quote, self-proclaimed bear trainer. And this, in Okaloosa County, Deputy Belial was the one who was called. This is his quote. He says, quote, "When I rolled up on the scene and this guy's literally playing with him in the middle of the street, I'm like, okay, this is definitely an odd call." He's like, "I've been to bear calls before, but they're black bears." He goes, "What piqued my interest with this one is when dispatch said the bears were in his truck." He goes, "Because all other calls I've responded to, they're in the trash or they're up a tree, but they're not like in a truck." And the Kodiak bears, that's the largest bear, right? In the world. That's like the biggest bear. And they're usually on Kodiak. The islands up there, the archipelago up there, which is like many miles away from Florida. And so the deputy said that, it was an inadequate enclosure. The guy got in trouble for that because they said that they said they could have been legally purchased and moved, but it's really almost impossible to obtain the proper permits to do that. And so they're still investigating. But yeah, that was pretty wild. Almost as wild. Oh no, I'm going to save this one for last. There's also this, a Florida man who was sentenced for an alarming series of crimes committed days after he was released from prison. Well, the giant neck tat definitely didn't give anything away. Central Florida man, he was sentenced Wednesday. Marion County jury convicted 45-year-old Rocco Gilanese for a whole list of charges. So they were Paddock Mall, a robbery. Apparently he robbed a JCPenney, $450-something worth. Some of it sad, like he stole baby clothes and shoes. That's kind of sad. That makes me sad. But then he also did some other stuff, though. That's not sad at all. It's creepy. He ran up to some people's van in the parking lot and said, "Driver, I'll shoot you." So, yeah. And he had his arms full of merchandise. And he apparently ran up to a number of different cars and said that. And then at one point he got into one car, the victim in the front passenger seat turned around, pushed him halfway out of the van. He tried to carjack a minivan. The driver stomped on the gas, sped off, causing the suspect to fall out and roll onto the pavement. Oh my gosh, this was crazy. And then he gets up and then he tries to rob another car. I mean, tried to rob like a whole handful of people in the matter of like 5 minutes, threatening to shoot everyone in the parking lot with his arms full of JCPenney onesies and shoes. This is weird. So he got a life sentence for his crimes because he's already had a huge record, and his status as a a prison release reoffender. So he faced minimum mandatory, which included potentially life in prison, which is what they got. So, I mean, it sounds like that's where he needs to go. He sounds totally lawless. Imagine driving down the road and you just happen to see a dude wrestling a python in the middle of the highway. You're in Florida. A Florida man was hunting for invasive Burmese pythons in the Big Cypress National Reserve. He came across and captured the longest example of the species ever caught. All I'm going to say is this python can wrap itself around this dude easily. Right. Like three times. Yeah, it is terrifying. But he's like an actual python hunter because they're invasive species and they're bad into the ecosystem there. And they have no natural predators. So they have a major python, like a big python problem. And so it was a 20-foot long Burmese python. And it has the head the size of a dog. And as it wrapped around him, because he was wrestling with it, it legit unhinged its jaw because it was preparing to strike, to swallow him. I mean, he beat it, but oh my gosh. I don't like anything that can do that with its jaw. That's terrifying. But it's all on video. I don't have a problem with snakes. I do have a problem when giant snakes unhinge their jaws like they're going to swallow someone on video for my eyes to see. Because there's no backspace key. I don't like that. But yeah, he's a very successful python hunter, apparently. So yeah, I'm not 20 foot long. He's 22. This dude's 22. Jake Willary, 22 years old. I bet he was tired. I mean, this thing is, it's like all muscle. It's crazy. All right, we have our third hour on the way. And coming up, we have all of the latest with the immigration battle. And we also have, we're going to get into some of the 2024, the Iranian issues, all that. So stick with us. We got more in store.
Get them all and send them back. You don't touch our police officers. You don't touch anybody. Thank you, everybody.
You know, that's Kathy Hochul, who's governor of New York. And I would believe her apparent, loyalty to police or to law and order had she, I don't know, practiced it or supported it in the first place. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour on this Friday. You can listen coast to coast, all kinds of good stuff. So the issue with these five, we were talking earlier last hour, the five individuals that were in the country illegally, attacked on video, police, and then get to walk. They attack officers and walk. They've been identified. That's, you know, sanctuary cities. And then they smiled and they showed up and threw up middle fingers on camera as they showed up. No, because they know that there's no consequences. I mean, remember that's their bail reform in New York. Bail reform is you can actually engage in assault and walk. It's the wildest thing, but that's what you can do. You can do that. You can engage in assault and you can walk. And now she's saying, now Hochul is saying, oh, we would deport everyone. Well, that's not what she was saying, you know, when she was running for office. That wasn't what she was saying when she was promoting New York is like a sanctuary state. I mean, you can't retcon history. I mean, that's the whole thing. Now she's seeing the light, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm happy that she's kind of seen reality, but it's sad that it took somebody getting beat up on camera for that to happen, right? And now she wants to end, what is it? The right to shelter law. It was something that she was pushing last fall because they have a New York City's right to shelter. And the whole point was that if people experiencing difficulties, you could find shelter in the city, and the city was, you know, going to help shelter you. And now they're saying, oh, well, that right to shelter rule, now they're taking advantage of it. Wow, you mean when you extended an entitlement like that, that people took advantage? I'm so shocked. That's never happened before in the history of government entitlements, Kane. I'm so shocked about that.
So unique.
Yeah, so unique. Well, if she wants them deported, she has the ability to, I mean, can't she do it? Can't she just try to do what Abbott does? I mean, she could do it. How serious are you? If she was really serious about this, she probably would stand with Texas. She would be one of the only Democrat governors and they could stand with Texas, but she hasn't done that. So again, I question how serious she is about all of this because she can't even do that much. She can't even bring herself to directly criticize the administration whose policies have contributed to all of this. I mean, it should be. And I don't think a lot of Democrats would blame her for saying it. But yet, you know, she approved the temporary jobs for illegal immigrants. That's the other thing. She's not serious about any of this. It's all for show. Her administration, this was just like, what, a couple of days ago, they approved temporary government jobs for illegal immigrants, people who entered the country illegally. She said the Civil Service Commission that voted to approve her measure. And they said they had 10,000. She gave a speech. She said there's 10,000 openings in the New York State workforce. And so they said that she wanted to give options to people and work authorization. She it was looking at, I mean, these are thousands of jobs. Okay. So those are her priorities. So you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand. She's not consistent on this. She's not consistent at all. And then they had after they had approved that, I mean, one of the jobs that and I'm looking at this piece that's NewYork1.com. One of the jobs apparently it was an administrative position. And I'm trying to figure out how you could have people working like a clerical position. And it says in this, as it's reported here in NY1.com, that English isn't required to fill it. How, Kane, that's a clerical job in the state administration. I was told
that we needed people to pick fruit and stuff, though. I mean, that's what I was told.
That's what Nadler said. You're right. And Pelosi.
So somebody's not telling the truth here.
This does not sound like picking fruit.
No.
I mean, I'm all for qualified people taking qualified jobs. I don't want more government jobs. But I just think they've had 10,000 job openings in New York and they haven't been able to fill them this entire time. And that wasn't a concern. And all of a sudden now, I thought they were just broke because all these illegal immigrants were coming in. Now they have taxpayer dollars to pay for 10,000 openings that they could put illegal entrants in.
Sus, bro.
I'm made of questions right now. So it sounds like she doesn't want to deport them. It sounds like she wants a publicly paid workforce that she got to come into the country illegally. That's what it sounds like to me. You know, I'm just saying. I got some questions with us. And I did not know that there's no New Yorkers. There aren't any New Yorkers that could fill that job. I've got a lot of questions here. None of this makes sense. So I can't take her seriously. I love how they were putting it as it's part of a new effort to inject new blood or part of an effort to inject new blood into a shrinking state workforce. Maybe the workforce in the state needs to shrink, especially when you've had all these people leaving the state. Yes. Sounds like you don't need that many people working in state government because you've lost a lot of your population for a reason. Golly. They also have a resettlement program for people who entered illegally. So they move people in and around and outside the five boroughs. And they have almost 400 that have been approved and are waiting placement. And they could send them to Eric Adams' house, Kathy Hochul's house, and they could house people there. I mean, so you can come in illegally, you can beat up cops in New York, and you can get a government job, taxpayer funded. That apparently we didn't know there was a huge issue at filling until suddenly just now. Fascinating, just fascinating. And I don't know. This is crazy. They say, oh, yes, it's we need these positions filled. No New Yorkers could do it.
New Yorkers are upset at all the real estate that's being commandeered by the government.
Yeah.
To house these people in places where citizens of New York can't even afford.
Well, that's part of their right to shelter thing. That she's talking about getting rid of now. That's part of their whole right to the right to shelter thing. Amazing. Now, the illegal crossings, this was a piece, let me pull this up, that I had read last night. And it came a couple different sources here. Bill Malugin was one that I first saw this from. So the force multipliers, like the razor wire and the shipping containers that are being used at some of the most crossed, the most illegally crossed portions, like in Eagle Pass, Texas, etc. Apparently, those force multipliers are having an impact. So Bill Melugin reported that something has changed, because just within the past, you know, couple of weeks, the majority of illegal crossings has shifted from Eagle Pass to Arizona and California. So Border Patrol, for the last week of January, apprehended 32,809 illegal immigrants. 23,576 of them, which is almost 72%, were in Arizona and California. The numbers in Del Rio have dropped. And this is apparently coming from Border Patrol. This is for Customs and Border Patrol. So they're still coming in. We're not seeing a reduced number of entry. They're moving. So the areas where the razor wire was implemented, the floating barriers in the Rio, the shipping containers put up, those as a force multiplier to deter crossing, apparently, I mean, just going by some of this initial data, I think you could easily beg the question that it's having an impact. But it's not stopping illegal immigration. It's simply moving it to an area that doesn't have any of these force multipliers. So now they're moving. So they're moving from the Del Rio sector, and they're now going to Arizona and parts of California. Now, Mexico did, and this is one of the things that he noted, because Texas has really locked things down. Mexico had increased enforcement against those who were looking to immigrate illegally, enter illegally, arriving in one certain border state in Mexico. And they're trying to, but they also have to kind of fight the cartels too, to try to dissuade or stop illegal immigrants from boarding trains and doing all that stuff. But I don't know. I don't think that as Melugin didn't say this, but he doesn't seem pretty positive that the assistance from Mexico is lasting at all. But it's not, and it's only happening in those two sectors. So in Eagle, it's only happening really in Del Rio. And the number of people who are trying to cross, it's just moved to California and Arizona. So I don't know. I think if for Mexico to truly help, you'd see, I think, a cross-border reduction. But those force multipliers are working. You can't say that they aren't anymore. They are clearly having an impact. And, you know, we'll see. Enforcement's working. Border Patrol Union had tweeted, quote, "Those who say Governor Abbott isn't reducing illegal immigration are morons. In December, there were 72,000 arrests in Del Rio sector, which includes Eagle Pass. In January, after the Shelby Park seizure by Texas National Guard, it went down to 16,000. Enforcement works. Take note, Biden men." It does work. But now you're looking at Arizona and California. California not going to do anything.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, apparently, Colorado, because the drug situation is so bad, they have free opioid overdose antidotes. They're going to have them at distribution boxes. This is wild. This is, good heavens. Where's this coming from? Lee Valley Live. They said that it's, I guess, part of the anti-fentanyl campaign. 9 Narcan distribution boxes in Leak Valley locations. And they're trying to raise awareness of deadly fentanyl. Do you have to do that, though? I mean, does it really? I mean, you know that it's bad. Well, isn't this just like enabling it in a way? Or I don't know. I have questions about this. Apparently, yeah, you can't eat pufferfish. This dude cooked and ate a pufferfish. You got to be very careful how you cook it. And it killed him because he did it improperly. The Brazilian man who had one of the most poisonous fishes in the world, he died after spending 5 weeks in the hospital. Magnum 46, He and his friend ate toxic pufferfish. It's 1,200 times more poisonous than cyanide. They got it as a present. They ate it, and he died. And it's like a little fish. But they gutted it, removed the liver, et cetera, et cetera. An hour later, they fell seriously ill. It's not like a regular fish. You have to be very, because it can kill you. And they have the deadly toxins, and it can cause severe illness and death, and it affects the nervous system, et cetera. It's like they said 20 minutes to 2 hours after eating it. And it's like the second most poisonous vertebrate in the world. The first is this frog, this like golden frog or whatever. Yeah. You can eat it. It's a delicacy in Japan, but they go through training because they have to very carefully prepare the fish and all of that stuff. And not a lot of people, it's not like, doing a regular fish. So that's sad. Mysterious ghost shipwreck washes up on a coastline centuries after it sank. This is interesting. It appeared on Cape Ray, Newfoundland, after a tropical storm Fiona moved through the area. A local bird hunter first noticed it under the waves, and then the word spread quickly throughout the community. They said they don't know how old it is. They think that it could date back to the 19th century because of the dowels that they see on the boat. It's 80 feet. They think it was a schooner, but some think it might be too large to be a schooner. But they said they're still looking at it and trying to figure out what kind of hardwood species it is. But and they said that would tell them whether or not it was actually made in Newfoundland or if it was made in Europe somewhere. And it goes into this database of shipwrecks and all this stuff. So that's kind of interesting for those who follow that. So I don't know how they did this, but taggers graffitied 27 stories of a skyscraper in downtown Los Angeles. The exterior. I don't know how they gained entry to it or how long it took them. I mean, they said that they had been blasting the building. One witness said for 3 nights they could see people up on the balcony tagging everything. And it was all the way up on this high rise. Well, LAPD only announced 2 arrests in connection with it. They said it was an illegal art installment, a 35-year-old man and a 25-year-old man. But that's they said they were looking for additional security measures to make sure that it doesn't happen again, and they had to remove what they did. That's 27 stories of it. Let's see. Queensland police. This is a kid in Australia. Of course, Australia, even their claw machines are dangerous. At a shopping center, a 3-year-old got stuck literally in the claw machine. I don't know how it. Father of a 3-year-old boy said that his kid was having the time of his life. 3-year-old Ethan climbed into the machine through the prize dispenser at a shopping center. He was very chill, and the adults were trying to coax him out of the machine. But they said he was up there so fast. The dad said that he just, blinked his eyes and the kid's in there. And he said that his son, always played the machines when they were at the mall. But he said he realized it was going to be very difficult to get him out. They had to call the claw machine company. And his response was, "My child is stuck in the machine. I'd like to have him back." Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why were they released? Why were those first migrants released?
Sir, you're on behalf of the people. Can you just comment on the situation?
Well, the brag's not going to say a word. He got a smirk on his face. Why is he smirking like that dude who had to go in and was arrested for fighting with law enforcement? He was asked, "Do you regret it? Do you regret letting them free, letting them walk free? Do you regret that they were released?" He doesn't say a single thing.
Smiles.
Yeah, he just, he smirks. I mean, look, the stuff that he sits here and tried to bend state law so he could go and prosecute Trump on one of the cases in New York, which I thought was a witch hunt. The Mar-a-Lago one with the docs, it's a whole other story. That one, though, this man stretched and folded and bent and did everything he could to state law to try to necessitate a charge so they could prosecute. But these dudes, he just lets walk free. Just lets walk. They get to walk. Is that not something? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Is that not something? And of course, he doesn't say a single thing. Is this what Build Back Better meant? Is that, that's Build Back Better. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of the memes I saw said community organizing Democrat style. It's true. It's what it is. Amazing. This is going to be the big, it is a huge issue. The amount of fentanyl that comes across the border. What was the, I'm going to pull the story up because there was one, how many, it was like a kilogram that they found, crossing the border. It was like a 38 pounds, 38 fentanyl hidden in a spare tire. And that was in San Clemente. And then going across the Texas border, there have been, I mean, too many here. The fentanyl seizures have skyrocketed. And I think it's like, what, $10,000 a kilogram? Don't you just need like one microgram? I mean, essentially what they keep catching going through the southern border in Texas is the, I mean, you could use that to kill the equivalent of a city the size of New York. That's how deadly this stuff is. And you can't tell me that all of this is happening, the smuggling of humans, the smuggling of drugs, everything else across the southern border, massive bank being made by the cartels, and nobody in DC is getting a cut. Because anybody else would be fighting to shut this down. It's that dangerous to national security. No. No, in the meantime, Biden demands that supermarkets cut their prices to deal with inflation. You okay, Kane? Yeah.
Government needs to cut their spending.
No, it's the grocery stores, Kane.
No.
The supermarkets are inflating their prices meanly. Meanly. And Biden, in a speech in South Carolina, he already touched on it last week. Now they're still pushing it. Because yesterday, White House aides told the New York Times that Biden was taking aim at the supermarkets. So he mentioned it already in his White House speech. And now the aides told the New York Times, oh, he's really going after it now. So this is going to be, I'm sure he's going to unveil something more class warfare stuff. But it says it's the supermarket prices. He doesn't say anything about supply chain issues or inflation. Because the stores obviously don't control those things. The increase in eggs, milk, and that. He thinks that it's, this is what he says, quote, there are still too many corporations in America ripping people off. Price gouging, junk fees, greedflation, shrinkflation. That was his direct quote. And he goes, Americans, we're tired of being played for suckers. And that's why we're going to keep these guys, keep on them and get the prices down. So then White House aides yesterday told the New York Times that he was taking aim at the supermarkets. And that's not going to work. I'm just going to go ahead and wager that that's not going to work. This is so bad. They said that. I don't know how they're going to do that. It's greedflation. That's what they say it is. The administration says it's greedflation. Oh, please, someone teach this man about supply and demand and what inflation does, what his economic policies have done. That's not how supermarkets work. When you have something, when you have a product that you sell and the product is made more expensive because of supply disruptions or the increased cost of energy, which increases the cost of acquiring the product, getting the product, putting the product on the shelves, making the product, and inflation on top of it. How do supermarkets control that? That's not a supermarket issue. There's no big supermarket sitting out there going, we see these people are in a tough spot. Let's raise prices. I know that that's what Democrats like to use as boogeyman to scare voters. Because it's really them. The call is coming from inside the House. It's Democrats who are doing this. It's their policies, and then they want to blame everyone else for reacting to their policies. It's like if you paint houses for a living, and that is your business, house painting, and wages are having difficulty keeping up with everything else because of inflation, because government spending is making it to where your dollar actually goes less. It stretches less. And because of increased energy costs, it's more expensive to manufacture the product that you use, paint. It's more expensive to package it, to distribute it, to obtain it. And then maybe what you used to be able to get for, you know, two cans of paint for, now it's just one. Are you bad because you have to increase your prices to offset the increase in prices that you have incurred due to things that are not in your control? I can't believe we have to have this like remedial explanation of how markets work. But this is what Democrats do. They think you're stupid. They think they don't know about money because half of them are trust fund socialists. They have no idea. You think Joe Biden has been on the public teat for his whole life? Do you think he worries about any money? No, he doesn't. That's why they can go out there and they can say it with full conviction. Oh my gosh, you know, it's big supermarket that's keeping these prices high. It's big grocery. When it's you, dude. It's you. But they need a boogeyman. They wanna blame something other than themselves. I mean, good grief. So what do you? So now I guess we're gonna target big grocery. What the hell can they do? Avian flu increased egg prices on top of it. What are you going to do to make them reduce the cost of eggs?
Don't forget about the chicken farms going up in flames.
Yeah. We're going to have government setting price controls now? They're going to go full Venezuela on this stuff?
Dude, this is the gargantuan projection from the government. This is exactly what they're the greedflation people. They're the ones that are taking other people's money and just so frivolously spending it everywhere. They are the reason for inflation. Everyone knows that the government overspending and printing money is the reason why we have inflation. It has nothing to do with the free market and business.
In June 2022, a 40-year high, 9.1% price inflation. 9.1%. 40-year high. Increased 3.4% just for the month of December. I mean, there, and he he had said, he goes after them and says that it's, I guess he's accusing the supermarket chains of being greedy and unnecessarily raising. I don't know how that's unnecessarily raising the prices, because if they wanted to compete with each other, then they would each be lowering. They would be lowering their prices to what they could in order to be competitive on pricing with one another. But the fact that they don't have a lot of room to move should be another giant signal to this mathematically illiterate sponge that, you know, there's forces at play here other than his make-believe greedflation claim. I can't stand people that don't know basic market, how the economy works. My friend Carol Roth is right. There's a huge economic illiteracy in this country, and it's in the White House right now. It's an epidemic. It's in the White House. Now, a few other things. Looking at South Carolina, because we got South Carolina primary. It's what? A couple of, like 2.5 weeks away. Is anyone else like really concerned about the primaries anymore? Nikki Haley's not going to win. She's still 20 points down, right?
Yeah. And in her own state.
And she already had her boost of 14 points since last September, but she's down. So it's stupid for her to even go, I think, to South Carolina. And I don't know how she's going to be able to do that even after South Carolina, because the story of you can't even be competitive in your home state is a powerful one. The only thing that she can do is try to get Democrats to vote for her. Now, these are not the Reagan Democrats, like the people who turn and become Republican. These are the people who would vote for her one time and then they go back to voting Democrat. But I do want you to be cautious about a lot of the polling out there. There was another pull this up. Never trust the media or don't think that the media is not going to try to make you feel apathetic. They were doing, Quinnipiac was doing a poll where it showed that Biden opened up a 6-point lead over Trump. And I don't know. I've been looking at this. It's not the, there's some polls out there that show that they were head and head, some that show Biden in the lead. I don't know. It's a little too early to start using these as like tools of fortune telling, because so many times they're wrong. They've been wrong so consistently. But I do think that at this point, you know, if Trump is going to be the Republican nominee, he's got to stop talking about his legal stuff, and he's got to start focusing singularly on issues, because that's what did it in 2016. When you start talking about fights that you've had or fights that you've lost, or you talk about the legal issues, that voters are not going to be, they're not going to, they can only empathize, I think, so much. So we'll see.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
People felt like, okay, yeah, he's one of us. Well, that's Biden. So let Fox News make fun of him because he has the same stutter he had since he was 14 years old. But go out and show flashes of anger. That happened in, by the way, in 2020. He went after a guy in Iowa, almost called him a fat something, and he cut himself off. And there were actually, again, it showed a human side of him.
I was talking yesterday.
Please let Biden speak more. Please, actually, wait, like this audio soundbite, 4 or 5, any of them, any, literally any of the ones that we have. Just surprise us, Juan.
I've been doing this a long time. I know I don't look like I'm 40, but I'm 40. Right? Anyway, but 40 times 2.
Yeah, that's so. Oh, what about the other one? Like when he's talking about, when he said that he, oh yeah, I guess this is when he was still in the White House. Somebody let him in a Corvette to go 130 mile per hour.
This is about giving people a shot. That's all it is. It's just fairness. Give people a shot. That's what you do. That's what you do. And besides, you built my 67 Corvette. My pride. Any ever watch Jay Leno's Garage? You watch me race on my 67 Corvette? It's only a 327, 350. I tell you what, man, I got up to 130 miles an hour, though. Secret Service doesn't like riding with me very much anymore. Anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I want him to talk more because it shows it. He seems like it works better for us. And there's more material that I can play on my show, and we can, you know, we can laugh about it, because it's, if he puts himself in this position because he's so power thirsty and all of his backers are so power thirsty, there, you have no obligation to feel any kind of remorse for laughing at how ridiculous he sounds every time he gets in front of a microphone. They signed up for that. They signed up for it. Golly, so insane.
So yes, more unfiltered Biden as we come into November.
Please.
Yeah, put him out. Let's have him do a huge hour-long Q&A. Have him give a giant speech, no prompter.
Can he do
it? No, have him speak from the heart.
Can he do anything but sleep for more than an hour?
I mean, they'd have to jack him up with whatever Hunter has laying around. You know, give him some of that Booker sugar. You know, get out of his White House cubby. Or maybe he can just snort it off of his gun pouch. Didn't even have it holstered, just his little pouch. Maybe he can snort it off that with Hunter's illegally purchased firearm. You know, just and that should help him, right? I mean, isn't that how it works?
Yeah, the media loves him.
Yeah, it should rile him up for a little bit. You know, it's not a big deal. The media didn't think it's a big deal. So, you know, let's maybe do that. So there you go. That can work. I tell you, I think that's the best idea that has ever taken place on that program. Yes, more of Biden speaking. More of him speaking. Folks, make sure that you go and find all of our past discussions up on YouTube and Facebook, and sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. There's more stuff coming out about that. In the meantime, today in stupidity.
Well, it is the White House press secretary. Juan, this is cut 8. Listen to the gaslighting. Oh, I'll play it from here then. Listen to the gaslighting from Karine Jean-Pierre.
Bidenomics is working. Unemployment is under 4%, 14 million jobs. He's going to continue lowering costs. And so we know, economists have said, it takes a long time to make that connection. But
it takes a long time to make the connection.
Now, like, how long?
We felt it right away, actually, when he got into office. Yeah. And we're still feeling it.
Yeah, no,
so
completely.
Quit gaslighting and do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're not going to believe that. We're not going to believe it. All right, folks, that does it for us this week. And appreciate your prayers for our sweet pup, Rocco. As you know, we lost him this week, and he's greatly missed. He was the bestest of all the good boys. So we miss him and love him. Thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend. Back with you Monday.